All right, so agencies applying a bigger stick to oversight. What do you mean?
Well, the White House and Congress are making a really big push for the use of suspension and debarment. I mean, just let's look at the history of the last 3 or 4 months. There was a recent report by OFPP that shows agencies have suspended or proposed debarment for more vendors in 2010 than in previous years. And Congress has held 2 hearings about the use of suspension and debarment over the last 4 months. And just last week at the House Veterans Affairs Committee hearing, lawmakers questioned why VA hasn't suspended or debarred more contractors who have submitted false information about being service-disabled or veteran-owned small businesses. Now, this hearing was about the certification process of these contractors, and it was quickly turned around to, well, how about those who've falsely or misled the government? Why haven't they been suspended or debarred? So that all of a sudden there's this really big focus, and Tom, you and I and Amy and all we've been looking at this issue for more than a decade now, and I don't remember a time ever before when suspension and debarment has come up so often. Now, let me give you one recent example about suspension and debarment. The Air Force decided to suspend 3 companies, Iron Bow, Advanced C4 Solutions, and Superior Communications. This happened in October because they disagreed over how the companies Air Force says the companies allegedly violated the conflict of interest rules and then the fulfillment of the contract that followed. Now, Iron Bow, Advanced C4 Solutions, and Superior Communications were prohibited from winning any new contracts for almost a month as the parties negotiated a way to resolve the conflict. Now, the Air Force last week reinstated all 3 companies, so they are now no longer suspended. I did ask the Air Force for a comment, but a spokesperson told me they wouldn't comment on why they lifted the suspension. I did get in touch with some other people who are involved in the situation, and one unnamed source close to the suspension and debarment told me the companies and their attorneys negotiated with the Air Force to address each and every question on this issue and about the Air Force's complaint. Now, the source tells me, based on those responses, the Air Force decided to terminate the proposed debarment. Now, it's been a month. Doesn't seem like a long time. But remember, companies bid on procurements all the time. So if they're not able to win a new contract in that month time frame, that could severely hurt a vendor. Now, on the other side, you're seeing more companies being concerned about that threat of suspension. And I think that with the Congress, pressure from Congress and the White House, they released a memo recently about, hey, agencies, we want you to pay more attention to suspension and debarment. Things are really starting to come to a head on both sides.
So, Jason, is the higher number of bid protests of contracts a reaction to all of this?
I would say yes and no. I think there's 2 pieces to this answer. Protests have been on the rise over the last 5 years, so it's not really new that we've seen, oh, look, more protests have been filed. But this, at the same time, the contracting climate is getting more tense because of 2 main reasons, the budget cuts, and then the push for federal agencies to use what they call, more strategic sourcing, more buying in bulk. So instead of having 10 contracts, you'll have 1 contract. So if you're not on that 1 contract, you're cut out of that environment, you're kind of out of that market, and obviously vendors don't want to be cut out of any market. So the GAO report that just released about a week ago shows agencies filed 2,353 cases, which is 2% more than 2010. Ralph White is GAO's Associate Director for Government Contracts, and he says there's been an increase in the total number of complaints, but the sustain rate isn't increasing as well.
A good number of our decisions don't go all the way to a decision. Agencies voluntarily pull back a number of procurements, but of the cases that go to a decision, that was 417 of them, we sustained 67. The percentages, Mr. Chairman, just to put it in perspective, we deny about 84% of protests. We sustained 16% of the ones we decided on merits.
Now, White testified last week before the House Veterans Affairs Committee about the latest in bid protests. Now, GAO also says in its annual report to Congress on bid protests that the number of sustained protests, 67, is down from last year, which was 82, but still up from 2009, which was 57. So it went from 57 to 82 to 67. So it's fairly flat, but you can see there's some big jumps in there. Agencies continue to turn to alternate dispute resolution, or ADR, as well. 140 cases going to ADR, 82% of those resolved without GAO having to make a formal decision. Now, the combination of more bid protests, the increased oversight by agencies, is really setting up an environment that the administration has publicly said they want to avoid, where there's distrust, where agencies are worried about protests, that they're making the, if you will, safe decisions and not taking anything, any risks. and vendors are aggressively suing their customers because they believe that their options are few options otherwise. Now, let me give you another example around this. Take the VA's T4 contract. This is a $12 billion technology services, multiple award contract. VA faced several protests that delayed the use of the contract by months, and only recently did the courts actually resolve this issue. Now, keep in mind, as budgets tighten, as I said, agencies will bundle their contracts, strategic sourcing. Vendors believe that if they get shut out of the market for 3 or 5 years, why not protest? They got nothing to lose. And let me give you one other example of the strategic sourcing and where we could see this happening time and again. GSA just released a request for proposals for a blanket purchase agreement for wireless plans and devices. When you go to Verizon, AT&T, get your cell phone, get your 2-year plan. But let's say one of the big carriers, just for discussion's sake, AT&T or Verizon, don't make the cut. They would have no choice but really to protest, because even if the government did everything perfectly, they crossed their T's, dotted their I's, companies cannot afford to be left out of the market. Again, setting up this really environment that's really they go after each other versus working together.
We are speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Now, earlier you mentioned the Office of Federal Procurement Policy's MythBuster campaign is trying to bring agencies and vendors closer together. So is that happening or not?
Well, that's the goal. That's the goal of the campaign. But from what I'm hearing, and preliminary results of actually a Federal News Radio survey of chief acquisition officers and senior procurement officials, the effect of the campaign, I would say, is limited at best. Now, Leslie Field, the deputy administrator and soon-to-be acting administrator of OFPP once Dan Gordon leaves in early 2012, she said recently at an event that the MythBusters campaign is starting to have an effect. There are steps agencies are taking to communicate more regularly, more easily with contractors. She says OFPP brings up the MythBusters implementation during their ACSTAT sessions that happens with every agencies. Yet there still is a fear, I think, among agencies of getting in trouble for communicating one idea with one vendor but not sharing more broadly, whether it's by accident or on purpose. And that's why you were seeing more industry days, where agencies try to reach that broader audience. But I think it's only happening in pockets and not every single agency for every, big procurement that really matters. Dan Gordon is leaving OFPP in January, as you mentioned, so it'll be interesting to see whether the MythBusters campaign continues to have those legs. He was a big driving force behind this initiative. And yes, this doesn't take away anything from what Leslie Field, Matthew Blum, others at OFPP can do, and they're very talented and smart individuals. But let's be honest, no political appointee initiatives tend to lose steam over time. The other interesting aspect of all this, and this is something that you guys were reporting on, I think, on Friday, is Joe Jordan is coming from SBA to OMB to work on acquisition issues under Jeff Zients. So it'll be interesting because he's an acquisition community veteran. He's looked at this issue for several years, though over the last few years, really from a small business lens versus a government-wide acquisition lens. So his impact on the acquisition reform efforts, while unknown, that'd be something to watch over the next few months.
All right. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Thanks so much for joining us, Jason.